Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. This is Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. This is Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish tonight. We're talking about the marriage supper prophecy, which is countdown to Battle of Armageddon and the Battle of Armageddon itself. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 21. The Battle of Armageddon. So let's go there now. Let's hear John's write-up of the documentary that he viewed. That's right. John the Revelator, he was called up to heaven, and he was supernaturally transported. That's in Revelation chapter 4. Beginning with Revelation chapter 5, he wrote down what he saw and heard. In other words, he was shown by an angel of the Lord visions that were external to himself, moving pictures with sound. In today's vernacular, we would refer to that as a movie. But these weren't movies that included fictitious events. So he wasn't watching a futuristic Terminator or, Equalizer. He was watching a documentary. An omniscient God, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the entire universe, has seen not only the past and the present, but the future. How's that? Time exists within God. All time exists within God. At the end of the world, we're going beyond time. We're going into eternity future. So how does this relate to John the Revelator's supernatural experience? God created documentaries of end-time events, those events leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ and those events following the second coming of Jesus Christ. And there are 12 of these. So by my analysis, I believe that there are 12 documentaries. He was shown these documentaries back to back to back, kind of like a movie-thon, if you will. You ever watched cable and they show Julia Roberts' Pretty Woman, and then they show Julia Roberts' Runaway Bride, and then they show Julia Roberts' Erin Brockovich, and then you realize, wait a minute, all these movies star the same person. The documentaries John the Revelator was shown star the same individual. The same individual. Who is it? Jesus Christ. So the Book of Revelation is not one chronological story. It's a report of many events, and there are actually 12 unique documentaries that John the Revelator saw, and he wrote down everything he saw and heard at this presentation that he experienced in heaven. So first he was shown the Seven Seals documentary. Then he was shown the Seven Trumpets documentary. Then he was shown the 1260 Days documentary. Then he was shown the 666 Antichrist documentary. That's one of my favorite ones. That's the one about what's happening to Christians around the world during the Great Tribulation. Then he was shown the 144,000 First Fruits documentary. Then he was shown the Earth Reap documentary. That's another favorite. It includes the marriage of the Lamb, the first resurrection. Then seventh, he was shown the Seven Plagues documentary. That's the wrath of God that happens after the wrath of Satan. Then he was shown the purple and scarlet documentary number 8, what happens when the false prophet is in charge of the harlot church? What is the fate of the one world religion, the headquarters for the harlot church, the one world religion that will accompany political events that happen during the Great Tribulation? Then documentary number 9 is what we're talking about tonight. The Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars. Just for completion's sake, let's mention, after the Battle of Armageddon, he was shown the Millennial Reign documentary, the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this earth. Then he was shown the Dead Judged documentary. This is when another resurrection happens, and all of those who failed to participate in the first resurrection, they're resurrected, and then they are judged. All their books in heaven are opened. They're thrown into the lake of fire when it's found that they failed to go to mediation, that their sin debt has not been paid for. There's no remission of sin for them. They failed to go to mediation. They did not accept the invitation that Jesus Christ extended to serve as their mediator. And then finally, the 12th, the final documentary John the Revelator was shown, is the New Earth documentary. That's what happens after the end of the world. It says in Peter, time is running out. The end of the world is coming. And indeed, the end of the world is coming. What does that mean? That means the end of this age, the end of all time, the end of this thing, this experience created on this present earth for the purpose of what? What is the purpose of life? The purpose of life here on this present earth is for God to reap a harvest. What's his harvest? A forever family. God wants a forever family in the flesh, and he is going to get his forever family. And those who chose to reject God and to be in the family of Satan, they are going to eternal damnation in the lake of fire, Gehenna. And those who have chosen to become an adopted son, an adopted daughter of God, we are going to the new earth, 3-in-1, body, spirit, and soul. We're going to live on the new earth with God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, God manifest in the flesh. So let us go to documentary number 9. You can see and obtain the one-page basic study notes at blogtalkradio.com/live-prophetic. We're going to Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 21 again. This is the Marriage Supper documentary. It's the Battle of Armageddon. So the Battle of Armageddon is mentioned a few places in the book of Revelation. Let me tell you where. It's mentioned in Revelation chapter 14, verse 19, and in Revelation chapter 14, verse 20, and, of course, in its own documentary, Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 21. So in the Earth Reap documentary, that's the first mention of with the word wine press. Not the first mention of the Battle of Armageddon, I think, but the use of the term wine press. So in the book of Revelation, whenever you hear wine press, it's actually talking about the weapon. It's talking about the weapon and its effect at the Battle of Armageddon. So Jesus Christ, you'll hear in a moment, his weapon of choice for use at the Battle of Armageddon is a two-edged sword that extends from his mouth. Now, this sword that extends from his mouth, it has the effect of squeezing a living being, just like a wine press is used to squeeze grapes, and then the juice flows. And so when people want to make wine, they use a wine press. They put the red grapes in there or the green grapes, whatever their choices and those grapes, they squeeze them tight, 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 tight. All the juice comes out, and that is used to create wine. Well, Jesus Christ is going to use a sword, and the effect is just like a wine press. So those individuals are going to feel the wrath of God. It is, it's not mental. It is literal. Literally, Jesus Christ is going to use a weapon at the Battle of Armageddon that causes his enemies and the animals that accompany them to have that blood expelled, the blood from their body. It's going to flow like juice flows from a wine press. Now, you might say, research scientists, that sounds gruesome. Friend and truth seeker, war is gruesome. What's going to happen to Jews and Christians during the Great Tribulation is gruesome. God is a just God. In the Battle of Armageddon, you're going to hear in a moment, it's a war waged in righteousness. The enemies of God will be destroyed in Jerusalem at the Battle of Armageddon. They are going to lose their lives, 100% of those in the armies led by the Antichrist. They're going to lose their lives due to the use of the sword coming from the mouth of Jesus Christ. It's going to operate in Revelation 14, it's referred to as a great wine press. And in Revelation 14:19, it says, "So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great wine press of God's wrath." That's referring to what happens at the Battle of Armageddon. And in Revelation 14:20, it says, "The grapes were trampled in the wine press outside the city." Now, who are the grapes? Who are the grapes? The grapes refer to all of the individuals in the armies of the world led by the Antichrist, and they are there at the Battle of Armageddon. It says the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress. Now notice it doesn't say juice flowed. Again, the use of the term winepress is referring to the effect of the weapon that Jesus Christ actually uses at the Battle of Armageddon. So when he uses this weapon, it's against living beings, primarily the human beings who bear the mark of the beast, but also their animals. Some of them will have horses with them. And it says, "The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle." So there will be 180 miles of blood. What's going to flow in that blood? Human carnage. Human carnage. About 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. That's certainly, if at a minimum, thousands of individuals, but it's probably millions of individuals. Let's go to the actual prophecy. So sometimes you hear me refer to this as the Marriage Supper documentary, and sometimes I refer to it as a Marriage Supper prophecy. I'm talking about the exact same thing. So John, he watched a documentary. John the Revelator watched a documentary, but because he didn't have the benefit of your cell phone or my cell phone or video camera, he couldn't simply record it so that you and I could watch it approximately 2,000 years later. So he used the best technology for that time, which was a writing utensil and some parchment. So he had to write down. So because it's written down, we often refer to it as a prophecy, right? So we refer to it as a vision. That's the language that they had at that time. But, you know, I don't like to use the word vision because sometimes in the Bible we see dreams referred to as a vision of the night. Or people talk about, in one scripture it talks about people have visions that they caused themselves to have or dreams that they caused themselves to have. So it's very clear when I use the language documentary that we're talking about something that was external to John and something that he didn't self-generate, right? So he didn't create this prophecy. He didn't sit there and say, I wonder what could happen. He didn't eat some mushrooms as he was in a field and then have some kind of psychedelic experience. He didn't get creative and decide that he wanted to write something interesting. You know, one time I was in a writing class and the professor talked about how the Book of Revelation was fiction, totally disconnected from the reality. The Book of Revelation is true. When the angel finished showing John the Revelator these 12 documentaries, the first thing that he said, he had shown him 12 documentaries. So think about this. You've watched 12, let's say, Denzel Washington movies in a row, 12 Sandra Bullock movies in a row. And at the end, what would they say if this was a movie-thon? They'd have some kind of comment when the documentary, when the movie-thon ended. So when this movie-thon ended, let's go there for a second. When this movie-thon ended, what was the movie-thon? The angel followed the instruction that he had received from Jesus, and he showed John the Revelator. He showed John the Revelator 12 documentaries. The first thing that the angel says to John, according to his report, Revelation chapter 22, that's the last chapter in the book, Revelation 22, verse 6, everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. That's the first thing. It's a direct quote. John says, then the angel said to me, quote, everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. End quote. So everything means everything. It doesn't mean half these things or most of these things or even many. It means 100%. So we're going to hear 100%. We're going to hear, and 100% of what we hear is factual. Everything in this documentary about the Battle of Armageddon is true. Let's say it using the language that the angel used. Everything you will hear that John the Revelator saw about the Battle of Armageddon is trustworthy and true. So excited for us to find out what's going to happen at the Battle of Armageddon. Here it is, Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 21. John the Revelator speaking to you, truth seeker. Here's what he says. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. Okay, let's pause there for a second. So these individuals are saying it's time for the Battle of Armageddon. It's time for the Battle of Armageddon. And then they say, and his bride has prepared herself. So what does that mean? It means that those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who participated prior to the Battle of Armageddon in the first resurrection are ready. Then in verse 8, continuing, it says, talking about the saints, she has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. Now, why would the saints be given pure white linen to wear, and how does that connect to the bride preparing herself? So this is saying, I believe that this is saying, you're invited to the Battle of Armageddon. If you are a saint, you're going to attend the Battle of Armageddon, and you have an outfit which has been prepared for you so that you are dressed appropriately for what's referred to as the wedding feast of the Lamb. Now, if this is your first time hearing this documentary, you might say, how does the Battle of Armageddon connect to a wedding feast? Like, how is war and wedding, like, how are these two words even in the same context? It's not making sense to me. You're going to hear in a moment that it makes perfect sense, but let me say in a nutshell up front. The wedding feast is God's cleanup plan for the Battle of Armageddon. And so those who dine at the wedding feast of the Lamb, it's not us, the saints. It's not the bride of Christ who dines at the wedding feast of the Lamb. We are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. We have a special outfit that we will be given and that we will wear as we watch the events at the wedding feast of the Lamb. But we do not dine at the wedding feast of the Lamb because the wedding feast is for the beings who are on the cleanup committee. So we are not on the cleanup committee for the Battle of Armageddon. You'll hear that in a moment. Let's continue. It says in verse 9, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters, who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. Now, let's pause there for a second. We're in a brand new scene. So prior to the Battle of Armageddon, standing in heaven will be a white horse. And this white horse has a rider whose name is Faithful and True. Now, this is really important. The first resurrection happens before the Battle of Armageddon. And I believe that the beginning of Revelation chapter 15 reveals that after we rise up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, we continue with Jesus to heaven for some period of time. And that in that period of time, the wrath of God is poured out by the seven angels onto this present earth, where all the people who took the mark of the beast, who failed to make the first resurrection, they are on the present earth and they experience the wrath of God. We are in heaven, in our perfected, glorified bodies with Jesus Christ as they are experiencing the wrath of God. After the seven final plagues are poured out, Then it is time for the Battle of Armageddon. So the seven plagues prophecy, that documentary, Revelation chapters 15 and 16, and then Revelation chapters 17 and 18, the first five verses and 19, give a detailed report of one of the events that happens when the seventh and final plague is poured out, the destruction of the headquarters for the harlot church. And then after that happens, it's time for the Battle of Armageddon, and we're here. We're here. It's been announced that it's time for the Battle of Armageddon, and there in heaven stands a white horse, and on the white horse is Jesus Christ. What happens next? We have more discussion of Jesus Christ and his attributes. Continuing, let's go back to verse 11. It says, then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God the Almighty like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. So let's pause there. So John the Revelator uses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses simply to communicate the reality that the rider of the white horse is Jesus Christ. So this is in case anyone is confused about it. So there's no question. We only need one verse, truly, to communicate that it is Jesus Christ. But we have six verses, six different ways that Jesus Christ is described. Now, in the Seven Seals documentary, when the first seal is broken, there's the rider of the white horse who wears a crown, and he goes out and gains many victories. That is not the same rider. That rider wears one crown. It is a white horse, but that rider wears one crown. This rider, it says, on his head were many crowns. So I wonder if a reason for all of these verses is to distinguish, for those who really want to unlock the secrets in the book of Revelation, to distinguish this rider from the other person, that rider of the white horse in the Seven Seals documentary. Okay, let's continue. We've heard in verses 11 to 16, Jesus Christ is on a white horse that's standing in heaven, and he is descending now from heaven, and he's being followed. So Jesus Christ is being followed out of heaven. And who is following him? The armies of heaven are following Jesus Christ, and the outfit that they have is pure white linen. So they're also riding white horses, and they have an outfit that's pure white linen. Let's see what happens next. Verses 17 and 18. Here we're going to hear an instruction for those who will dine at the marriage supper. So again, who will dine at the marriage supper? And it's not the saints. It's not the bride of Christ. Indeed, we've been given pure white linen to wear. We're invited, but we do not dine at the marriage supper. Let's hear the instruction to the cleanup committee, those beings who will dine at the wedding banquet. Verse 17 says, "Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, 'Come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great.'" Now, did you hear that? The instruction to the cleanup committee was shouted to vultures. It says, vultures flying high in the sky were instructed to, quote, "come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared." So God is preparing this great banquet for who? For these vultures. Now, why is God preparing a banquet for vultures? Well, vultures eat carnage. Let's go to Britannica. We went there on Sunday. Let's go there one more time to find out about the eating habits of vultures. Now, we don't need to go to Britannica to know that you and I are not interested in dining on the flesh of human beings, right? We don't have an interest in that. We are not cannibals. Certainly Jesus Christ isn't a cannibal. So this is a wedding feast, it says a great banquet, and God is preparing it, why are vultures invited to dine at the wedding feast? Well, let's hear what Britannica says about the food habits of vultures. Britannica says, most vultures have broad food habits, consuming carrion, garbage, and even excrement. So they consume carrion, garbage, and even excrement. And when you look at carrion, maybe you already know what this is, but in case you don't, let's get a dictionary definition for that. Carrion is the decaying flesh of dead animals. The decaying flesh of dead animals. Let's get another definition. So another definition for carrion is, Merriam-Webster says, dead and putrefying flesh. So it's not limited to animals. Merriam-Webster defines carrion as dead and putrefying flesh. And now it's making sense. It's all coming together for us. We understand that God is a God of order. So the Battle of Armageddon is fought in a specific place. And it's fought in that specific place for a reason. When it is fought and won, there will be 180 miles of blood. It's going to flow for 180 miles. It will include carrion, and it will be as high as a horse's bridle. That's approximately 5 feet tall. Who's going to clean all that up? The vultures are. The vultures are. They are the diners. Now let's continue. Verse 19 says, then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together. So now everything's in place. The cleanup committee is in place. Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven, they have left heaven and they're here on this present earth. And John the Revelator says, then I saw the beast, that's talking here about the Antichrist, and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. So John the Revelator saw the kickoff, if you will, the start to the Battle of Armageddon. On one side is Team Satan. On the other side is Team Jesus. So Satan has his armies. His armies are led by the Antichrist, and many nations will send troops to be a part of this attempt to destroy and take over Israel. And on the Team Jesus side, God the Father has Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, leading the armies of heaven. So we see in that one verse, Revelation chapter 19, verse 19, we are actually at the Battle of Armageddon. We are there. Everyone is there. And then verse 20, verses 20 and 21 give us the outcome. Verse 20 says, and the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet. I want to pause there for a second. Years ago, I was watching a boxing match, and it was Mike Tyson. I don't remember who he was fighting against, but it was a really big deal, and the boxing match ended, I think it was in like 30 seconds or 20-something seconds. It was less than a minute, and folks were like, wait a minute, this is the boxing match of the century. This is, they're fighting for the major, a major title, a major belt. I mean, there was a lot of hype around this fight. It was a really big deal, and Mike Tyson was so extraordinary. He was so prepared. He was so ferocious. He was aggressive and dominant that he took that other person out very quickly. It happened so fast. It appears that the Battle of Armageddon is going to be just like that. It's going to be just like that. Now, imagine you have the person who is who has been taking out Christians and Jews for 3.5 years, and he is the biggest, the baddest, the fiercest individual of that time, the time during the Great Tribulation, but relative to the power, the strength, the intelligence of Jesus Christ, he's nothing. He's nothing. He's going to go down so quickly. And so verse 20 says, and the beast was captured. So you might say, research scientist, is it going to take 5 seconds to capture the beast, 3 seconds, 20 minutes, 2 hours? We're not told, but think about this. When God is manifest in the flesh, that's Jesus Christ, he can do anything he wants as fast as he wants or as slow as he wants. So he's coming to fight and win the Battle of Armageddon. I don't see why he would drag it out. This is probably, in my opinion, now I'm speculating here, this is probably going to happen very quickly. So we're not told, oh, the Antichrist fought back and then he did this and then he did that. Like, it doesn't appear to be any back and forth. It appears from Scripture that once Jesus Christ is there, very quickly thereafter, he simply chooses to capture the beast. That's the Antichrist and the false prophet. Let's hear that report. Revelation 19, verse 20, continuing. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. So what is this talking about? At the Battle of Armageddon, both the Antichrist will be there and the false prophet. That's the final pope. At the Battle of Armageddon, the Antichrist will be there. The final pope, that's the false prophet, they will be there together, and they are the first two people who go into the lake of fire, Gehenna. So right now, when folks pass away, they experience the first death, they're sleeping. So when you die, and I believe we're in a generation where if you're hearing my voice, it's a very good chance that you will be here at the second coming of Jesus Christ. But let's say Jesus tarries, then I die or you die. Any person who dies in Christ is in heaven, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who die in Christ. In contrast, when an individual dies and he or she is not in Christ, instead of ascending to heaven as a disembodied spirit, that person descends to Hades, to Sheol, as a disembodied spirit, and that person resides in a prison of darkness. It's hot. It's hot down there in the center of the earth. It's not their final destination, okay? So Hades isn't a final destination. There are only two final destinations. One is the new earth. That's for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the other final destination is Gehenna. That's the lake of fire. That's for those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But in the interim period, what's the interim period? The interim period is everything that happens before the Great White Throne Judgment. Everything that happens before the Great White Throne Judgment, people who die who are not in Christ, they go straight to Hades. They get out of their current earth suit, that tent, it wears out for whatever reasons, and they descend as disembodied spirits. Now, the first two people who go into Gehenna, the lake of fire, so in other words, the first two people who experience what the Bible refers to as the second death. So if I die today or you die today, that's temporary. In other words, it's the first death. It's temporary. We're going to participate in either the first resurrection or another resurrection. I'm participating in the first resurrection. I hope you are too. I pray and hope that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it is, I will see you at the resurrection. You will see me at the resurrection. The Antichrist and the false prophet, they experience at the Battle of Armageddon the second death. That's permanent. They're the first two inhabitants of Gehenna. So here it is. Revelation 20 says, and the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. So they go to Gehenna. They go to Gehenna. That's the second death. We learn in Revelation 20, chapter 20, verse 10, that 1,000 years later, Satan joins them. He's thrown into the lake of fire. It says where he joins the beast and the false prophet who are already there. Now, what happens to the people who are in the armies of Team Satan? So what happens to the thousands or millions of troops who are there at the Battle of Armageddon? In other words, they have sworn allegiance to Satan. So they have rejected God. They are enemies of God. What happens to the enemies of God at the Battle of Armageddon? Verse 21 gives us the answer to that question. It says, their entire army, talking about the army led by the Antichrist, who leads in tandem, works in tandem with the final pope, that's the false prophet during the Great Tribulation. It says, their entire army was killed. Do you hear that? 100% of those in the armies led by the Antichrist, 100% of those individuals are going to experience the first death. They're going to experience the wine press. So they're not going to be captured like the Antichrist and the false prophet. They're not going to be captured for the purpose of being judged. In Daniel, there's a report of judgment of the Antichrist. They're not going to be judged at this time, and they're not going to go into the lake of fire at this time. They are going straight to Hades. So they're going to die. They're going to be killed. Now, here it is. It says their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. Now, folks want to talk about how Jesus is love. And certainly God is love. Jesus is love. But Jesus is also the truth. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's coming to wage a righteous war. What does that mean? A war against evil. A war against evil. The Bible says that some people, they choose to reject God because they enjoy evil. Some people are engaged in evil because they've been deceived. They've been deceived. In any case, those who choose to make themselves enemies of God and who have sworn allegiance to the Antichrist, who bear the mark of the beast, who are in the armies at the Battle of Armageddon, 100% of them are going to die by the sword that extends from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Now, the very last sentence gives us wonderful closure on the Battle of Armageddon. So the Battle of Armageddon is over. What do you mean? What I mean is the leaders of it, the Antichrist and the false prophet, they've been captured, and they're thrown into the lake of fire. And all of the armies, so in other words, all the people who were there to take out Israel, they have been killed 100%. So the war is actually over. Now we just need the cleanup committee to get its work done. We need the cleanup committee to execute the instruction given to them by the angel of the Lord. Now, what was the instruction that the cleanup committee was given? The cleanup committee for the Battle of Armageddon was given an instruction in Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 and 18, it says, the angel says to the cleanup committee, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. So these vultures have been given an instruction, and that instruction is for them to eat the flesh of kings. And Britannica tells us that the food habits of vultures include consuming carrion, excrement, and garbage. And carrion is, according to Merriam-Webster.com, carrion is defined as dead and putrefying flesh. So when these individuals are killed at the Battle of Armageddon, their flesh is there. So their bodies are dead, and the flesh has begun to putrefy. So who is a suitable diner for a meal comprised of dead and putrefying flesh? Certainly, it's not the bride of Christ. Certainly, it's not you. Certainly, it's not Jesus Christ. Jesus is not a cannibal. You're not a cannibal. This wedding banquet, this wedding feast has been prepared for vultures. That's what they eat, dead and putrefying flesh. So the last sentence in the Marriage Supper documentary is, and the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. Let me say that again. And the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. Now, what does it mean to gorge? So to gorge means to eat to excess, right? Merriam-Webster defines it as to eat greedily, to stuff to capacity, to consume greedily. So, again, the Marriage Supper documentary, it is countdown to Battle of Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon itself, and the cleanup for the Battle of Armageddon. I hope that you have found this an interesting discussion. My assignment is to hear from God about the book of Revelation, to study the book of Revelation, to pray about the book of Revelation, and to communicate what God reveals to me with his family. That's you, Truth Seeker. That is you. So I'm honored that you have spent some time being with me and with us. I never, ever take for granted your time. You could be doing 1,000 other things. You're choosing to spend your time listening to the prophecies in the book of Revelation. And I pray that you will not only listen to the prophecies in the book of Revelation, but you will obey the instructions contained in the book of Revelation. There's a special blessing. There's a special blessing for you, friend and truth seeker. I want to read that blessing for you. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 communicates that there's a special blessing for every person who hears the prophecy in the book of Revelation and who obeys the instructions. So I want to speak this blessing over you according to the word of God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy, talking about the book of Revelation, to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says. So, friend and truth seeker, I declare and decree, according to the word of God, that you are blessed because you have listened to the prophecy, the marriage supper prophecy in the book of Revelation. You have listened to its message, and I pray that you will obey any instructions contained in the book of Revelation, for indeed the time is near. So we are at the end of our discussion for today. But coming up on Sunday at 12 noon Texas time, that's 1 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be having new analysis and discussion of the Marriage Supper documentary. New discussion and analysis, that'll be at 12 noon Texas time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. I encourage you to take a look at the one-page basic study notes at blogtalkradio.com/live-prophetic. And tonight is communion night for PGN friends and family. You can participate in PGN communion night every Thursday at 9 p.m. Texas time, 10 p.m. Eastern time, so that's in about 1 hour. The phone number to listen to PGN's communion night, that's PGN Live Online Church with Prophet Randy Chandler, that phone number is 1-319-527-6737. Tonight, PGN Live Online Church will continue with Prophet Randy Chandler, 1-319-527-6737. If you want to listen by internet, blogtalkradio.com/2witnesses. blogtalkradio.com/2 and then witnesses, the word witnesses with an S. So I encourage you to be with us as we continue PGN programming in about 1 hour. Thank you so much for being with me and with us today. Until next time, friend and truth seeker, God bless you.